This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Jasmine, you came across an item on Santa Clara University's website. This is actually from about a year and a half ago. But this piece talks about three ways social media is changing journalism. And the broad categories are faster, clickier, and more personal.
Yeah, it sure has changed things. Rich, you and I were talking before we started taping, and one of those things we talked about is the common PR tactic that organizations will wait until the 11th hour, usually like 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday.
Friday afternoon, yeah.
Yes, and hoping that the media cycle has kind of ended for the weekend and that anything bad necessarily that they're going to put out, any negative news, that kind of thing, is going to go out and it's going to get buried that weekend. No one's going to cover it. But I've noticed that no matter what time of the week it is, no matter what day it is, you put something on the web, you put something on Facebook, and it's very important to the community, it's going to get shared and it's going to be looked at.
Yeah, a story of interest to our audience, something that just happened about a month and a half ago, was the announcement to defund Tri-State's public radio. We got that confirmed late on a Thursday afternoon. I then waited until Friday for the station to sort of get its thoughts together and get a reaction from our general manager. So I had that by Friday afternoon, and the normal thinking would be I would write a story for the radio for Monday morning, because otherwise it's just going to get buried on the weekend. No one's going to hear the story, and it's going to disappear. But the first thing I did then was write a web version that took off on social media. People, as you were saying, Jasmine, are constantly checking websites. They're constantly checking social media. So you write a web version, you post it to Twitter and to Facebook, and the thing just took off. That was not buried on a Friday afternoon. That got a lot of views, a lot of people talking, a lot of engagement. And that's a much different way of thinking than what we would have done in the past.
It certainly has brought on a sudden immediacy to this endeavor. And thinking about it, you know, it definitely has its benefits, I think, in providing more immediacy. You have to really be on your toes, so to speak, and paying attention to these things. And I witnessed a newsroom over time where I had worked that had to shift to a new kind of all attention 24/7 kind of a paradigm, to where not only were we staffing the 9-to-5 kind of shift with most of us, we always had a night reporter till about the 10 o'clock news was over, and then that was the end of our day. Well, no more. We have now, we also had evolved to the point where we had someone getting up at as early as 4:30, 5 o'clock and checking on the websites, checking on our social media. And that's just a responsibility that we have, because this, you know, this has been both a benefit, but also has its drawbacks, of course, as we all know, that rumor and innuendo can run wild on mm-hmm. social media, and we have to use it with a grain of salt and be careful with these things, and we have to verify and vet the information that's going on this. And so this lends to the case, of course, why we need more reporters and journalists than ever before, probably. Of course, we're not able to provide this or support these kinds of things. But this is how I saw it change the newsroom where I came from, where I had worked for some 16 years. I just saw this evolution of a need for more eyes online, someone who became a pseudo web editor, and then more attention was paid to that, and more round-the-clock support was paid to that as well.
Well, while that broad category of faster can be good or bad, depending on how it's done, I think this broad category of clickier, which I think might be a new word too, clickier, I think is not necessarily a good thing, because you're trying to entice people to click into articles, and maybe sometimes the headline or the general description of a story is a bit misleading.
Absolutely, and this is where we had the evolution of clickbait, which I thought was very. And the base of it was very pejorative, I thought, more than more gimmicky than anything else. Where it was, a scheme to try to get hits, and it wasn't so much about the content of your website or your social media, but it was just getting clicks, and clicks were a way to show the top office, the top brass, the CEO that you were on top of things, that you were productive. And I think we need to dig deeper, of course, to find out and redefine what is truly productive journalism on social media. Clicks, not necessarily. It skims the surface, and it doesn't really consider what the product is.
You know, social media has been around for more than a decade, and there are lots and lots of news sites, news organizations that are still trying to figure it out. And some do it very well, and some do it very poorly. And we discuss that. My students and I will discuss, really good examples of social media use and also really poor ones. I will notice where, Rich, you referenced, clickbait headlines or things that aren't really titled very well. I think people who are poor users of social media, they don't have that figured out yet. They need to be a little bit more clear about what the story is about. There are ways to title a story that aren't misleading but still get people drawn into the story. So I think people who really rely on that clickbait headline, one that is misleading, I think that's poor journalism. But I've also seen the third facet of what this website talks about, what this article talks about, is more personal. And I've seen some really good work with people making their social media more personal. And there, some journalists have a real conundrum on their hands because they don't necessarily want to put themselves or inject themselves into what they do. Mm-hmm. But there are some people who will at least make it very conversational and try to take their bias out of it, because we all have ideas. We all have feelings about things, but they try to do it in a way that's still journalistic in some ways. And then again, we do see people who are taking pictures at crime scenes and posting them of themselves at the crime scene. And, you know, that I think that's probably a poor use of social media. But it all really just, you have to look at the social media post itself and figure out, hey, is this something I should be doing? And I see some people who, again, they do it really well or they do it very poorly.
I think just like with any media, there's a strong responsibility and ethical responsibility that comes with this that truly professional journalists need to realize. And we can't just use the social media just as anyone uses their Twitter account or Facebook page to discuss or go off on some kind of tangent or something. I think there needs to be some training, and I'm sure there has been some, but there needs to be some focus training on how we need to use that and harness that to the most effective means.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.